Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started.
Hey guys, just got off the phone with Glenn Hughes, legendary singer from so many acts. You guys know from Deep Purple, of course, to his great solo stuff, Trapeze, Black Country Communion, California Breed, Black Sabbath. Remember the Black Sabbath record he did? So many great things this guy has done through the years. It's mind-blowing, and he continues just to put out so much new music over and over again. It's always an honor to speak to him. And just want to say rest in peace to Aretha Franklin. I had the opportunity to work with her on the VH1 concert special called Divas, where she performed and Lenny Kravitz performed and all sorts of other people, Shania Twain, and I think Celine Dion may have been there. Yeah, and I worked with Oprah preparing a package on Aretha's life, which I need to dig out and post somewhere because it was really good. It was good. Oprah did the VO. I did the VO session with Oprah, and Oprah did one take of everything. That was all I was permitted. But at least she did it, which is very cool. She did it for free, too, as a favor to Aretha. But yeah, Aretha Franklin, gone but not forgotten. Let's talk to the master here, the guy with such just a beautiful voice. And also follow Glenn on Instagram. He's on Instagram. He's very active on Instagram. He corresponds with Emily. She's on my wife. She's on Instagram. Space Pony is her account on Instagram. And we, Glenn, we always love seeing your responses to Emily's pictures that she posts. So on that note, let's get into my interview conducted on August 16th, 2018 with the master Glenn Hughes. Hey, Glenn, this is Mark Striegel. Great to talk with you again.
Hello, my friend. It's been a while. How are you?
I'm doing well. Although we've had some sad news today, and before we get into talking about the tour you're doing, I just wanted to get your comments on Aretha Franklin. I mean, what a loss.
Get a visual, Mark. This is my first girlfriend's brother was 3 or 4 years older than I. I was 14 years old. He must have been 18. He ran a discotheque in the West Midlands in the Black
right.
Country where I was raised. And I was this preteen kid, and he would have me fetching. He was like a DJ, and he'd be playing these Detroit songs and gospel songs. And, you know, all the great, as you know, I've got a bit of an R&B education.
Absolutely.
So what I'm getting to here was the first woman, white, black, or whatever color, it doesn't make any difference to me. She was the first woman that raised the hair on the back of my neck when she sang. And as you know, I'm deeply into all kinds of singers. I'm a big fan of other people's work. But her voice as a woman did a number on me, you know, because the tone of her voice and the deep well of emotion she brought to every single noun or verb or word she sang, just did a number on this 14-year-old little boy. And I've kind of followed her all these years, and knowing she was sick a couple of weeks ago, but not realizing she was going to pass, was a look how many people has it affected? I think her death is going to really upheaval a lot of people. It's a really difficult thing to think that she's no longer with us, but she is, really, isn't she?
Yeah, I mean, just such a talent. And you know, we talk about heavy music here on this podcast, but when I go back and look at those clips, like from the 60s of her, which are probably the clips, you know, you first saw her. Like you said, it just makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. It is so emotional, so heavy. You know, it's like it's deep stuff.
Well, can you imagine, Mark? Get a visual. Or just, you know, get your audio file. That voice, you put a rock band behind that voice, and that voice would have cut through all the glass. You know, she'd have broken glass in Radio City. I saw her sing many times live, the Grammys and stuff. And that, I don't know if you ever saw her live, that voice. And same with Patti LaBelle. Those voices, that kind of a voice, just doesn't exist anywhere. It was one of those voices that cut through, didn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Completely. Then you add the emotional quality. You know, I wasn't really paying attention to the words. I was going, how can this woman make that sound with that throat?
Yeah.
You know, it just, and then I started listening to the lyrics. I'm going, oh my God, hang on a minute. Where are we going here? You know, and again, Mark, she was the first. And look, there have been other great, I love Dusty Springfield and we're having those kind of great singers. But there's only one Aretha, and there's only ever going to be one Aretha. And in my lifetime, that's probably going to be the way it's going to be.
Right on. Absolutely. What a loss. And to kind of turn the page here and talk about what you're up to, I just saw this amazing clip on YouTube of the Deep Purple classic, Mistreated. And it's a recent clip of you out on the road with your Deep Purple, I guess, what do we call it? Like a tribute or class? You're going back to the classics here.
Mark, I've got to be careful when I word this because I'm being watched, I guess. It's called Glenn Hughes Performs Classic Deep Purple Live, to make it appropriate and the right title. Because let's be clear, Mark, I'm not Deep Purple. I'm a former member of. As you know, these days, people are always looking over the shoulder going, hang on a minute, he's not in Deep Purple. Well, I was in Deep Purple, but it can't be called that. So what I'm doing, Mark, is I'm dedicating a two-hour show. And, Mark, what I'm not doing is I'm not listening or creating the studio versions.
Right.
I wouldn't call them sterile, but I think they were just recorded pretty quickly. What I've done, I think maybe the only one that's done this, I've gone back to look at Cal Jam. I've gone to look at live at Long Beach. I've seen live in Japan. I've seen live in Paris. I've seen live in Grass. I look at videos and hear audio files and going, wouldn't that be an interesting scenario if we took a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and we have an incredible Hammond player. We have what I'm trying to say, Mark, I'm trying to bring a live element. This show I'm doing isn't a pink, it's not wrapped up in a pink bow. It's a little angst, maybe a little aggressive, maybe raw, if you will, maybe a fly by the seat of your pants show. It's not going to be something that is going to be just pretty. You know what I mean?
Right on. And like I said, that clip I saw of Mistreated, I mean, definitely not pretty. 14 minutes long, epic, just outstanding. And the keyboard solo, oh my God. Who's playing keyboards with you on this tour?
Oh my God. Well, Mark is kind of a bit of an exclusive for you. I've changed the bloody band again.
Right.
Only because I had some time to think about this in the last 3 or 4 months. And listen, put your sports hat on. Let's just say I'm going to play in the Super Bowl, and I've got to add a few really great players, and I've got to bring a new guy in, I've got to, you know, quarterback. what I've gone and done is, if I'm going to be bringing this legacy, this, and by the way, Mark, there's going to be three American, North American, and Canadian tours in the next 15 months. There's going to be three of them. What I want to do at this point in my career, I'm not a young whippersnapper anymore. You know, I'm in my mid-60s, if you will.
Right.
I want to bring the players, I want to bring the appropriate players in that, let's just say an audience member may want to close his or her eyes. They may want to go, hey, for a moment there, I thought I was in 1974. It might sound a bit strange, but I want that to happen, you know. And I don't like letting people go. I'm kind of I like to keep people, you know, to play with the same people for 10 years. I've done that, you know. But on this particular start in Westbury, a week on Saturday, when we come out there, I've got Jeff Coleman, if you want to Google him. He was with me 10, 15 years ago, an incredible Stratocaster player. I have Mike Mangan, M-A-N-G-A-N, who was with me in Kings of Chaos with Duff,
Matt,
Slash, and Gilby. He's a Hammond organ specialist. And I have a Brazilian fellow who lives in Los Angeles, Eduardo Baldos, who's more of an Ian Pace snare drum kind of a player rather than a bonzo player. It's more of a real snare influence, like the way Pacey played. Do they look like them? No. But do they sound like them? Kinda.
Right.
I think that is the kind of thing I want to bring some originality to this show, and I think people will hopefully understand what I'm doing.
Absolutely. And I peeked at the set list, and knowing that you're jamming these songs out and the songs that you're hitting, this seems like it's going to be a really special concert and tour. And we encourage all the listeners to check it out when you come through the States. I was a little surprised to see Highway Star and Smoke on the Water in the set list. But when I thought about it, it kind of made sense, because when you were in Deep Purple, those were obviously big classics that you performed live.
Mark, thank you for acknowledging that, because it has been quite difficult with a couple of journos about why I'm doing them. Before I went on my first part of the tour last September in Australia, New Zealand, they weren't included. My management came to me and said, Glenn, let's go back and look at the annals of Deep Purple, the songs you did with Deep Purple.
Right.
And lo and behold, and this is kind of spooky, but real. If you remember, you're probably too young to know this, but when Gillan sang Highway Star, I think he only sang it maybe. David and I sang Smoke on the Water more than Ian did. Not saying he sang it bad or good. It's just David and I sang it every damn night for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And also Highway Star. So, and I get to sing Georgia on my mind at the end of Smoke, which a lot of people were kind of hoping I would do. Did I want to do this? I was coerced into doing it. I have enough songs not to do those two songs, but damn it, I thought, let's give it a trial run in Australia and New Zealand. And my God, those two songs were accepted and by people. And we've been doing them ever since. I've never really questioned should I do them or shouldn't do. Mark, if I don't believe I can deliver something vocally or playing something that is going to be believed, I won't do it, you know. So there may be some raised eyebrows, but I think when you know, I don't know if you've heard me sing Highway Star with Joe Satriani, Steve Vai and Chad Smith. It's kind of a pretty wild version.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of, if I didn't enjoy singing them, I wouldn't do them. And I think they're working right now. Maybe they won't be here next year, but right now they're working for me.
Very cool. And I was happy to see also in the set list, You Keep Me Moving off of that kind of different era of Deep Purple, where Blackmore was out and Tommy was in. Any memories of that song, or even, you know, the album Come Taste the Band, that you could share with us?
Well, I've never spoke in an interview about this before. You're going to get, this is an exclusive for you, Mr. Striegel.
All right.
You Keep On Moving was written in August of 73, and you're thinking, hang on a minute, isn't that right before Burn? Yes. I went up to the very north of England, where David had a flat above a Wimpy bar, funny enough, And we sat down in his place, and I came up with this down, bum, bum. You can find me. We just wrote that song. We're thinking, oh, this is going to be great on Burn. Of course, put two and two together. It never made Burn, and damn it, it never made Stormbringer. Mm-hmm. But it made Come Taste the Bang.
Right. So you Richie had a problem with it, maybe? Richie wasn't into it?
I'm not sure he ever said anything. It just never got past the demo stage.
Gotcha.
So I think when Tommy played it, when Tommy played that, the way he played that reggae thing in there and that really kind of affects it on the guitar, it was more of a journeyman player, more of an adventurous than what Richie could have played. And by the way, I'm very blessed to play with Richie and Tommy, but I think it worked better in Mark IV than it would have done in Mark III.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad you're including that in the set list. That's awesome. I'm very excited to see this tour. I love that you're jamming these songs out. I would imagine that you're never going to get the same show twice with these jams, because you probably never know exactly where they're going to end up. And it's very cool that you're going to release some of these concerts as a download, right? As an album, basically, that people can purchase.
Oh, yeah. The future for me at this point with my new team of people I'm working with is that, as you know, it's all about the internet these days, Mark. So it's about embracing it. I don't want to be left behind in the medieval period, but it's good to do this. I love to sing live. If you know, I adore singing to people. It's the only thing I can really do really well.
Right.
So, I don't mind if let's record every show and let's do the appropriate thing and let people go home with a copy of the show. I think it'll be great.
That's awesome. I love it. And last time I spoke with you just had your knees fixed, and I wanted to check in on that. How's your health doing? How are the knees?
It took right before the Hall of Fame. I had the knees done in November. In 15 and January of 16, of course, the Hall of Fame was end of March. And by the first week of March, I still couldn't walk right because both knees had been done. And then I went into a really, a therapist come to my house and stay there and get me to, I couldn't walk right. And by the time I got to the Hall of Fame, I could barely move around that stage. But it's all, I've ran. Funny enough, 9 miles in the last 2 days.
Oh,
running,
wow.
By the way.
Awesome.
So it's crazy, isn't it, to think that I couldn't even move 2.5 years ago, and now I'm throwing myself around the streets of Bulgaria these days.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, I was such a fan of that California Breed record you did with Andrew Watt and Jason. Did you ever hear from Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you're familiar with what he's been doing, Mark. Hang on to your horse here. He wrote a song for Justin Bieber called "Let Me Love You."
I did not know that. Wow!
And that went well. That one, by the way, went straight to number uno. And then he started to work with a lot of the hip hop dudes and a lot of pop. Let's just call it the pop side of things. So Andrew has switched gears. And he's done more of in a mainstream Cardi B kind of thing, stuff that you and I probably don't listen to.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know if he's enjoying it. I'm sure he's having fun doing it. But he's trying to switch gears from being a rock dude to being a pop dude. So I only want to wish him all the very best. Very, very talented lad from New York, 27 years old. And we only want to wish him only the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I was also just a massive fan of the outstanding Resonate record that you put out back in, I think, 2016.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. So many great songs on that record. Any chance we'll see another Glenn Hughes solo record at some point down the road? Is that in the picture or in the plans?
Yeah, I'm still writing. I just spoke to somebody about an hour ago about, do I have any songs? I do. Well, I'm always writing songs with Joe for another BCC album, of course. But I'm a writer at home. When I'm at home, and I do carry guitars on the road with me, and I record on the road, and my iPhone is a well-used iPhone these days. I do write. That's my format, is I am, first of all, well, people know me as a singer, but I love to write. That's what really turns me on, is to write music. So I've got a catalogue of songs that I'm sitting on, and there will be an opportunity in the year 2020 where a window will be open for me to make another Glenn album.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Glad to hear that. And yeah, I think the last time I saw you was at BB King's in New York. I'm hoping to see you at
BB. Oh my God. But that was like a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, that had to be maybe 3 years ago, 2 years ago. It was after Resonate came out, so it was probably 2 years
ago.
It's
all coming back to me now. It's all coming back. That's right. It was BB King.
Yeah, they closed that club. So I think you're playing. I should have it in front of me. I don't have the place you're playing, but you are doing a show in Manhattan, doing the Deep Purple stuff. So I will be there. I can't wait for that.
I'm doing Westbury on the 20th. I think I've got it in my head. Westbury on the 25th. I'm doing Connecticut on the 26th. I'm doing the Stone Pony on the 28th and the Sony Musical on the 29th.
Sony Musical. In Manhattan. Very cool. Great. And 23 countries you're hitting with this. 23 countries. That's incredible.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is an ongoing thing, Mark. It's I'm contracted, if you will. It's nice to be contracted these days. How do I say this to you? I don't have time. You know, how many August the 16th have I got left? I don't have time to wait for people to go, you know, can we wait? No. I ain't waiting. I'm in a good space mentally, physically, and spiritually these days. I'm fit as a fiddle. And I have a great team of people around me, and we're on a roll, and long may that continue.
Awesome. Well, I think that's a great place to end the interview. And again, I cannot wait to see this tour. Now I'm thinking maybe I'll hit at the Stone Pony. That might actually be easier for me since I'm in Jersey. But I will be at one of those shows for sure.
Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing you, Mark.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Come back and say hey.
I will, absolutely. Thank you, Glenn.
Fantastic. Mark, have a great, great day, and thank you for your call.
We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
This is my soul, Lord. this is my love, this is my soul, it is my decision. This is my town, this is my love, this is my town. This is my town.
My Town by Glenn Hughes from 2016. Go listen to that on Spotify or download it on iTunes. Big thanks to Kevin for setting up the interview. And of course, we gotta go out with some Deep Purple, right? Some awesome Deep Purple. I love the Coverdale Hughes era of Deep Purple. So good. Love Tommy Bolin. Oh, man. Saw Deep Purple play on their big reunion tour back in 1985, one of the loudest shows I ever went to. Of course, Glenn wasn't with them at that time, but I did get to see the Gillan, Pace, Blackmore, John Lord, and Roger Glover lineup. That was the only time I saw Purple. I'm going to see him again with Priest here in New Jersey, and I'm going to see Glenn Hughes, who was also just a very important member of that band, do Deep Purple coming up very soon in New Jersey. I think I'm going to hit the Asbury Park show, maybe the New York show. Got to talk to Emily, see which one we can squeeze in. Coverdale and Glenn Hughes rocking this Deep Purple classic. Going way back to the 70s, guys, early 70s. Epic Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. We'll be right back.
Everybody all right, come on! I said smile!